So, please be seated. Please be seated. Turn this up. There we go. There we go. All right. We're going to try and have a testimony each night. And something what God's done in some particular person's life. And so tonight, Dowda, Pastor Dowda, come on up. So he said he would give a testimony in 7 to 10 minutes. Is that possible? Those are there. Are you in his church? It's not possible. It's not possible. Brother, come share with us.
Good evening, family. How's everybody doing tonight? And then the pastors under whom I trained, whenever he would give me a microphone and tell me I have 5 minutes, 5 minutes it is. Amen. And I like to honor the time whenever I'm given the opportunity. Before I say anything, I want to say hello and honor all the pastors in this place tonight. Amen. Can we hear it for the pastors? Pastoring is not easy, but it's easy to criticize them when you're not one. Amen. May be encouraged, be strengthened, men and women of God tonight. Amen. My name is Dowda. I was born and raised in Africa. Was a Muslim till the age of 22. And when I met Pastor Mike, you know, at the Feeling Fun days, right? And then, you know, I saw the flyers and everything that was happening, and he told me about it. I said, how come nobody told me anything? He's like, well, I'm just telling you now. I say, okay, sounds good. All right, so because I'm excited about anything that has to do with the community coming together. And man of God, I appreciate you. I appreciate your ministry. And thank you to you and all those that are coming together to make this happen. Amen? Amen. So, I was just living my life as a Muslim, been to Quranic school, learned the Quran, knew it by heart, and I used to attack Christians whenever they would start preaching in the streets and say, you are liars, Jesus Christ was not crucified, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, attacking the very thing that is at the heart of our faith, amen? And then I came to know an evangelist who was actually living in the same compound where I lived. So he brought me a cassette tape of a guy that used to be a Muslim that had become a Christian. He used to be an imam. The imam is the Muslim leader, leads the prayers, and is in charge of a mosque, a local mosque. And so this guy was sharing his testimony on a cassette tape. And then I listened to the testimony. He gave it to me for me to listen to it. And you know, I got to tell you something. If you are here tonight, I want you to know, if you do not know Christ, I want you to know that from the time you were born, God has been pursuing you. The Bible says God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he has sent him so that through him the world might be saved. And I was already condemned as a Muslim because there was a whole bunch of things you weren't supposed to do that I was delving into. And there was no way to have my sins forgiven. So I listened to that testimony. Three things stood out, and I'm going to try to keep it short. The first thing is that Jesus Christ will forgive me my sins. Which in Islam, if you understand it correctly, it's left to chance. The second thing, that he would not only forgive me my sins, but he would give me the power to live a life of righteousness. And the third thing, which was unheard of, that God would actually speak to me. So I put on the cassette tape. It was like an hour and 30 minutes. Hallelujah. A whole bunch of ideas going through my mind now. But, you know, and I listened to it a second time. And after I listened to it, I went on my prayer mat I didn't pray in Arabic that night. I prayed in a language, you know, in my father's language. And I said, you know what? From the time I was born, they talked to me about Islam. And I'm hearing this today. I'm going to need you to talk to me. The guy on the cassette tape says that you talk. Well, I didn't hear any voices like the Moses movies. You know, I didn't hear that, you know. But I had a conviction in my heart that was as hard as steel, that I needed to follow Christ. I got up, went to church, and never looked back ever since. There was persecution. I was rejected by my family. I was called names. A lot of, if you know Islam in Africa, is mixed up a lot with mysticism and incantations and spirits. And, you know, so I was under a lot of spiritual warfare and threats to my life. Getting fired from my job because my boss was a Muslim. And, you know, everything, just one thing after another. You know, but God kept me through all that and kept on teaching me, and I kept on growing with Him until in 2008 He told me, wanted me to come to America to serve Him. So I ended up here in the high desert, my beloved desert. Don't go there. You can never prosper in the place that you curse. It's impossible. That's why I will always bless this desert. This is where God has planted me. And He has been faithful ever since. I want to tell somebody tonight as I wrap this up is that when my mom was pregnant with me, she was 14 at the time. And they with my dad was 21. If you do that today, you're going to go to prison. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. So they were going to abort. And she had all the stuff to do that. And her backpack, what are the chances? Her backpack fell in the aisle. And the schoolmaster walking the aisle saw it. And all the medication is out. He reads it, recognizes what it is, tells my grandpa, and I get preserved and I was born. I didn't know this until I got saved. After I got saved, I went to my village. I'm walking the streets of the village and I saw my mom's schoolmaster. She had told us that that was her teacher. So whenever we see her, we say, hello, sir. Hello, sir. And he looked at me and said, whose child are you? I said, well, I am Fanta Bamba's son. He said, do you know the story of your birth? I said, no, sir. He said, let me tell you. So he told me that, but it gave me a sense of purpose. And reminded me of the promise in Jeremiah. Before you were born, I knew you. And I had established you. And I want to tell somebody here tonight that before you were born, God knew you. Your parents may not have planned your birth, but God planned your birth. And you may feel without any hope tonight. You may feel without any purpose tonight. But I want to tell you, you better be sure. You better know that God has a purpose for your life. He says, I have come that my sheep may have life and have it more abundantly. And you are qualified for that. You know, the only qualification to receive that abundant life, you gotta be a mess up like me. That's all it takes. The people that are perfect don't get it. But the people who know they got dry bones in the closet. They got stuff that they're trying to hide. God said, you don't need to hide it. Just bring it under the blood. I'm going to erase it for you. I'm going to tear all those IOUs and you will stand sanctified, justified, just as if you had never sinned. Can you give Jesus praise this evening?
Amen, brother. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we have been ushered into your throne room, praising you, glorifying you, worshiping you, Lord God. And now, Lord, I pray for my brother Eric. I pray you would anoint him, that your spirit would consume him. and use him as you would see fit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Yeah, God bless you, my brother. God is good. Amen. And all the time. Amen. And we want to lift up the name of the Lord today. We want to give glory and honor to him. And you know, as we've been singing these songs, as we've been glorifying and loving on the Lord, it pleases him. It pleases him, friends. And this night, I just want to encourage you to say that as we have praised the Lord says he inhabits the praise of his people. He draws near. He gets close to us. And we can get close to him. So not only here, friends, but beyond. Let's continue to glorify the Lord and let's lift him up and give him honor and glory. Can we look to him in prayer in this moment right now? Father, we thank you. We thank you that, Lord, your word declares, Jesus, you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And Lord, today we thank you for your presence that is here. That Lord, you're ready to show forth your presence and your power to those that you have drawn in this place tonight. So Lord, our hearts are open. We ask that God, you would deal with us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that you understand who we are. That Lord, you have formed our physical bodies from the dust, Lord. And we humble ourselves before you, Lord God. And we ask that, Lord, you would forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord God, and turn us to you, Lord God. Revive us again, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to hunger and to thirst for you, for your word, your truth that sets us free. And Lord, we thank you that you are arising, that God, you are arising, and that the enemy is scattered in Jesus' name. And we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor. And in Jesus' name, the people of God says, amen, amen, amen. So be it, Lord. You know, as I look about, it's wonderful to see what God is doing. Because the Word of God tells us in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. In unity. And so, friends, tonight is a divine appointment with God. It's God setting things up for what he is about to do, because we are his people and we believe that not only did Jesus die on the cross, not only was Jesus buried in that tomb and rose 3 days later, but Jesus ascended on high and he is seated at the right hand of the Father God in heaven. And we believe something that he said he would come again. And he's coming for us, friends. He's coming for his church. He's coming for his bride. And he's calling us to be ready, to be prepared. And wonderful things God is doing right now in that he's getting his people together. He's saying, I'm going to get you where you need to be. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to get you so that you're ready as I come to bring you home. He's bringing us home, friends. In this great revival meetings that we're having these next 3 nights, as Pastor Mike has told us, the theme of these meetings has to do with prayer, the power of prayer and faith in God. And friends, we're going to hear what God has to say from his word about prayer and what prayer can do, because there is power in prayer. Oh, I believe it. I know it's true tonight, and I know that you believe it too. Glory be to God. How many of you that are in here today have ever had any type of prayer that you have prayed before? Any type of prayer? Show of hands. Yeah. All over this place, there's people that have prayed, and you prayed for a reason. You prayed because you needed an answer. And when you prayed, let me, by a show of hands, ask tonight, how many of you received an answer to your prayer? Praise God. Receive that answer. Because you believe what God said in His Word, and He brought forth that answer. Glory be to His name. Friends, there's power in prayer. And prayer is something that the Lord says as He's coming back to get His church, that He expects His people to be doing. Sometimes we pray and we get discouraged because the answer doesn't come as quickly as we think, or it doesn't come the way we thought it should come. But friends, remember this. God hears and answers prayer. He is a prayer answering God. And He does answer. And that answer may sometimes be yes. That answer may sometimes be no. Or sometimes that answer may be wait, wait. But friends, we must pray. And what the Lord's put in my heart to share in this time that we are together tonight, the title of the message is, why should we pray? Why should we pray? Sometimes we're not motivated to do something because we have no understanding or foundation as to why we should do what the Bible says we should do. But when we look at the Scriptures, something happens, friends. As we hear the Word proclaim, something takes place on the inside of us. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, you get stirred up on the inside. I like what a brother of mine likes to say. I get bolstered on the inside, you know. Something starts to take place. It's like that cranking of a generator and everything. As you start to pray, and God begins to go to work, friends. And today, I want us to look at this concept that the Bible teaches of why we should pray and hear some different things that the Bible says as to why we should pray. The first thing that I want you to know is the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray and to pray without ceasing. There is to be a continual prayer of our lives, our communication, our reaching out to the Lord. And it's not only to be in a dialogue, friends. You know, sometimes we go to God and we start, oh God this, and oh God that, and oh God that, and we start laying it out and everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. But at the same time, as we pray and this communication line is being established, we need to know that it's not just that monologue, it's a dialogue that's taking place. It's a dialogue. It's a speaking to God. And it's allowing God to speak back to our hearts and to bring an answer. Mighty things have been said. Mighty things have been written. Much has been preached and taught when it comes to prayer. And friends, we need to put prayer in the practice. I like something that Robert E. Lee said. Robert E. Lee said, let prayer be our practice and let prayer be our passion. Let it be our passion, the passion of our heart. And when we understand that God is listening and that He does answer those prayers and everything, it will become a passion. It will become a day by day, throughout the day experience that we have with Him. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm asked you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 18. We're going to start out looking at Luke chapter 18 as we look at this message and understand why we should pray and understand that when we do pray, God makes His power and presence known. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 18, I'm going to be using two of my Bibles today. I like to preach out of the NLTSE, the New Living Translation, the second edition, but I mainly preach out of my King James version of the Bible. So you'll be hearing a lot of that. But in Luke chapter 18, I want to point out something that Jesus said to us and realize that as to why we should pray, Jesus spoke a prayer and Jesus prayed all the time. He's our example for everything. And in Luke 18, it says this. It says, one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Say, never give up. We pray and we never give up. Jesus, in the King James Version of the Bible, it says men should always pray. They should always pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. And we should never give up. And it says there was a judge in a certain city. And he said, it says, excuse me, it's sort of hard for me to see this a little bit. There was a judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy, with my adversary. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. My goodness. The judge couldn't take it. He said, the woman's driving me crazy. She keeps coming to me about this matter. And it says, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant, her constant request, friends. Maybe some of us in here understand that and everything. Glory be to God. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to His chosen people who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man cometh, when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on the earth who have faith? When the Son of Man returns, how many on the earth will He find that has faith in Him? Faith that will pray. Faith that will believe. Faith that will call out to God to do what God would say in His Word that He will do for us as we look to Him, friends. The Lord wants us to understand this night as to why we should pray. Jesus commanded us to pray. And when we pray, God hears. He's not an unjust judge. He is the just judge. Right now, God is our Savior. Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. But friends, The day is coming when he won't just be the Savior anymore, but he will be the judge. The Bible says he'll be the judge of the quick, the dead, and the living, the quick, the alive. And God wants us to realize that Jesus has something he wants to do in this earth. And he's looking to his people. He's believing for us to cry out to him. He's going to answer. We just can't give up, friends. We got to keep on pressing in to the Lord. That's one reason as to why we need to continue to pray. Jesus prayed. Jesus set the example. We see in Mark chapter 1 around verse 35 where Jesus would get up early in the morning and he would pray and he would seek the Father and he would find out what the Lord desired for him that day. Friends, we need to pray. We need to follow the leader. Jesus said as he went about and did his ministry and he reached out to people. He went to the temple. Do you guys remember one day when Jesus went to the temple? And as he went in and went through the outer courts and everything, he saw the money changers and everything with everything set up. And they were doing what they were doing, but they weren't really focused on God. They were seeing what they could do to get a little ahead for themselves and everything. And Jesus saw what was going on and he did something about it. Jesus began to move about. He began to turn the tables over. He began to drive them out with a little cord, a whip that he had already put together. And Jesus said unto the people, he said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you made it a den of thieves." The Lord wants us to realize his house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord says, in Matthew 7:7-8, he says, "Ask and it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock and the door will be open," friends. We need to be obedient to the Lord in these things. We need to, in this time that we're in, realize that heaven is waiting and listening for the prayers of God's people. Ask and it shall be given. Oh, I love men of God, I've heard, and women of God that have been men of prayer and done mighty things down through the centuries. It was because they were mighty in prayer. They sought after God, friends. And I like what different ones have said. And Pastor Jim Cimbala, who's a present-day pastor in Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. He's written many books, and he's talked on the power of prayer in his own church and how they gather on Tuesdays and seek the Lord and God shows up and begins to bless and minister to his people. How many of us have needs in this place this night? Every one of us have a need of some type. As the people get together, they pray. And Pastor Jim Cimbala, one thing that he has said, he says that when we pray, God comes. God comes, friends. That's why we need to be praying. We need to know that Jesus commanded it. We need to know that when we pray, God comes on the scene. He begins to show up. He begins to step into your situation to turn it around. And he wants to do that on a day-by-day basis. Every day we can pray. I like what God taught me years ago. He said, "Eric, when we pray and everything, that God makes a way. When we pray, God makes a way. When we pray, God makes a way." And God surely does make a way. You can bring to him anything that's going on in your heart and your lives, friends. And God will make the way for you. He parted the mighty water for the people in Israel. We see all throughout the Bible the testimony of the different ones that as they prayed and what God did for them. We need to pray. We can't fade. God is listening for the prayers of His people. God listens and He wants to answer our prayers. Are we praying, friends? Are we being obedient to Him? Jeremiah 33:3, He says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Just today, we had a situation. We were doing our food pantry at the church, and one of the sisters here at the church received a call from a family member back in the Midwest. And the situation is this relative's husband, whose name was Brian, had been taken onto the hospital because he is having problems breathing and they didn't know what was going on. Modern technology is so wonderful in so many ways, but she showed me the picture of this man whose name was Brian in the hospital with his hospital garb on and everything. And she said, "Pastor, we need to pray." And it's like, yes, we do need to pray. And we, at that moment, began to pray. I prayed the prayer over the phone, and we had others in agreement in regards to it. And this man was just laying up, and he was just receiving and taking in what God was bringing his way. Well, praise the Lord, friends. When it has to do with your heart, when it has to do with a stroke and things like that, that's serious stuff, you know. But it's not too much for God to do. It's not too much for God to handle. Amen. Hallelujah. Those prayers went forth, you know. And God sent forth His power from heaven. As we came to this meeting tonight, Sister Jerry let me know, "Pastor, I want to let you know that Brian went home tonight." And praise God for it and everything. Friends, we've got to pray. We've got to open the door so God can intervene, so God can bring His blessing, so God can do the things He wants to do. So often we'll sit around and we'll do just opposite of that. We'll worry about it. It's like, "Oh, what am I going to do? This, da, 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 da." You know, so, and we'll talk about, and they've got this symptom and we'll talk about that. But do we talk to the One who is the Creator of all things? Do we talk to the One who can change the circumstances and make things as they should be? God is calling for us to call upon Him, to come unto Him and to trust Him. We have opportunity. We need to experience God's power in this day. We have an enemy who works against us and tries to stop us from going forward in God. But friends, prayer is a mighty power. Prayer is what God calls you and I to walk in and to know Him. As you pray, you get to know God. God already knows you. Jesus already knows you. But you get to know Him. You get to know God's heart. And I like what I heard on a song on the Christian radio station by a brother by the name of Torrin Wells. When we pray, he said, our heart comes into alignment with the heart of God. Do we need a heart alignment tonight? Do we need God to get things going in the direction that He wants them to go? Friends, we need to pray. We need to call upon the Lord. We need to let God do what He said He would do. He's done it so many times in all of our lives in different ways. I remember years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Seoul, Korea. It was the largest Christian church in the world at the time. I don't know if it still is, but many of you have maybe heard of Pastor David Jungi Cho. And I went to Pastor Cho's church in the spring, April of 1986. I was in Bible college at the time. And I was in Bible college at Lester Summerall Ministries, World Harvest Bible College. And as I was in Bible college and everything, it had been mentioned that there was going to be a trip going all throughout all of Asia, the Philippines, Japan, and everything. And as I was in the meetings and heard this, the Lord laid it upon my heart and to go to Korea and everything. And I was like, Lord, I'd like to go, but I don't have the money. And in the natural, I didn't have the money, friends. I didn't know, you know, where I was going to get it from. But you know what? God has a way. When God puts something in your heart and you believe God, God will make a way. So I began to pray. And I prayed starting in September, the fall of 85, till April of 1986. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, I ask you to make a way. And you know what? When we can pray in fear or we can pray in faith, believing God. And you want to be, and I want to be those that are praying in faith, believing, trusting God. And not looking on what we're seeing on the outward, but trusting that God, you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. It says in Ephesians 3:20, and I continue to pray. And continue to call up, continue to confess and thank God for His blessing of making the provision and everything. Friends, in the meantime, the Lord began to have me to do things to get ready to go over, because I was going to go over to Korea to Pastor Cho's church. I wasn't going to go with the group that was going to be going from the Bible college and everything, but the Lord just put, you've got a brother in the army, you can go over there, you can stay with him. And so anyway, I began to pray over these months and thank God and believe God. And this is what God did, friends, for me. As I began to pray and as I began to believe God, it came down to the last week and a half. I didn't have one penny to go on this trip. It was going to be at least $1,400. But what God did, I still praise Him for and thank Him for in this day. Because this is what He did for me. And I know He'll do for you when you believe Him and trust Him and thank Him. And just hold on to what the Word of God says. The Lord, in that last week and a half, began to cause finances to come in. I had a roommate right next door to me, Steve Butler. The brothers and sisters at the Bible College knew that I was wanting to go on this trip. And I was working. I was working three jobs at that time. I was working at Sears, I was working at Wendy's, and I was working at Chick-fil-A, you know. And so they were all part-time jobs and going to school full-time. But God, He sustained me and I did it. I could only do it for a few months, though, you know. And I was still paying my normal bills, my college dorm rent and all that stuff. But anyway, my brother, roommate right next to me, Steve Butler, he comes up to me and he says, Eric, how are you doing with the finances to make your trip to go over to Korea and everything? And I said, in faith, not lying, speaking in faith, trusting God. I said, Brother Steve, I'm getting close. And I said that out to him. In the natural, I didn't have a penny, but I said, I'm getting close. And I thank God for that. And I just spoke it out because our God is a God who calls those things that be not as though they are. It says in Romans 4:17. And so I just said, I'm getting close. He said, Eric, I know that God wants you to go on this trip. He says, I want to help you. And the brother gave me a check for $100. And it's like, wow, praise the Lord. Getting closer, still not $1,400, you know. But God did that, and that $100 began to come in. That trickled in. And then I was saving a little bit of money from my jobs, but I had to pay my bills and stuff and live like we have to do along with that. And then what happens next? The Lord opens the door. My grandmother, who is a pastor and minister, she pastored churches in Kentucky, Beaver Dam, Kentucky, and Hallsville, Kentucky, for over 33 years. My grandma sends a check in the mail to me, and it's for $500. And it's like, yes, grandma, you know? And she says, you know, the Lord put it on my heart, baby. She said, I know you've been praying about going on this little missionary trip over to Korea and everything, and you know your grandpa just passed away. Well, the United Methodist Fund sent a check to me, and seemed like, I can still hear her saying, seems like the Lord just said to me, why don't you send $500 to Eric so he can make that trip there. A Korea and everything. And so she did. And she gave me a call and said it was on the way and everything. But God, so, you know, getting closer, you know, now 500, 600. And so some other monies I'd saved up. Friends, God did this and he brought it all in. And I got up to $1,200. I still needed $200. Now, part of the preparation and part of your faith in prayer and holding on to God, I needed to go there. I needed a passport. I never had a passport in my life. So Chicago was the closest office and everything. So I found out what I needed to do. I called to find out how much a ticket was going to be to fly from, you know, LA, from South Bend, then to Chicago, then to LA, then to Seoul, Korea and everything. And part of that $1,400 cost was part of it. And I was getting all this stuff lined up. I'm praying and putting it all before the Lord. Got down to the last $200. And I'd gone out with some of the brothers and sisters at the Bible college. And we went to Shakey's Pizza. Have a little night out together and a little fellowship. And we were sitting. And I had a Christian brother by the name of Michael Quillen. Him and his wife, Judy. They were talking to me. I said, Brother Eric, you know, man, we've been praying for you. We're thanking God that he's going to let you go to Korea and everything. And how close are you and everything? I said, Michael, I've got $1,200 now. And I've got everything. I sent out for my passport. Normally, when you send out for passports, they tell you it could take 3 to 4 weeks and it'd be a long time. Friends, that passport came back in 2 weeks. And God set it up like that. So I already had the passport and everything. The money's coming in this last week and a half. God is bringing it in. And we're at Shakey's Pizza talking about all of this. What did the Lord do? I'm talking to him and I'm saying, I just need $200 more and I'll have what I need to be able to go. And so the Lord made this work out this way. He will use anybody. God uses people. He blesses us. And he causes good things to come our way through others. There was a couple that as I was talking to Michael and Judy and we were having our pizza and eating everything, I guess that had overheard the conversation and heard that I needed $200 more to be able to make this trip to Korea. And all of a sudden, this couple walks by the table and they throw a check down on the table for $200 and said, enjoy your trip. Glory be to God. Look at our great and mighty God. With God, all things are possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And God did that and he blessed and made that way. And I was able to go to Seoul, Korea and be at Pastor Cho's church. And I tell you, friends, why should we pray? They pray in Korea, man. And they pray as I was in that city. This is 2 years before the 1988 Olympics that were to take place there. They were doing a lot of revamping and reconstruction in the city and everything. But friends, the people in Korea, the Christians, they pray because there's the DMZ zone with the 38 parallel that divides North Korea from South Korea. And in that service, I remember, they actually have this little bell that they ring at a certain time. And they ring it, and all of a sudden, the people begin to pray. They pray, and they cry out to God. They let God know what their needs are. They ask for his divine protection and his blessing and everything. And I got to be a part of that. And I saw what God was doing. I saw why that church had a membership, not a membership. Adherents were millions, but they had a membership at that time of 800,000 people. And I saw why. Because these people weren't talking about prayer. They weren't just playing around. around. And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, it's like, no, they weren't praying like that. They were all in. And we've got to be all in this day and hour that we are in. We know that there's darkness. We know that the enemy is trying to come at us as a flood. But God is moving in the hearts of His people, and He's bringing His Spirit to bear witness in our hearts of exactly what this passage of Scripture says. When the Lord, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith? I went to Korea. I got to experience what God is doing. And friends, I just want to I go on. There's testimony after testimony of things God has done, even locally in this community. Back in 2005, 2006, we were in a building project up here at Harvest Christian Center Assembly of God Church. And as we were building that, and I know Pastor Mike and Sister Debbie and the congregation here are in a campaign here that God is leading them to do new things and to do greater work for Him in this community. But we were in a building campaign and building a new sanctuary. In the process of building that sanctuary, we got to a place where we didn't have money, friends. We didn't have money. We needed $60,000 to be able to do our blacktop alone for the parking lot and everything. We were still doing stuff on the inside of the building that needed to be done and everything. And there was a whole lot that needed to be done. And we just got to a place, and not only that, in the natural. This was in like August of 2005. Hurricane Rita and all that stuff was taking place in Louisiana. And everything, the prices on steel and metals shot up and everything. It was a tough time. And our board members and I myself and the congregation, we came together and we had been praying and asking the Lord to help us. As we were doing everything with the conditional use permit and everything, the Lord had put it in our heart. We had 7 acres of property. We had 2 acres to the west that really we couldn't utilize in a way. And if we were going to do anything, it was going to cost a lot of money. There's a lot of things they require that you do and everything. And so we thought, let's just put this up for sale. So we, in our conditional use permit with the county and everything, we had a subdivision already working. And we began to pray. And we, like, let's sell this 2 acres of property that's just to the west of where we are. Let's believe God. And friends, we were asking the Lord, Lord, send us a buyer. Send us a buyer. I know you may not believe what God does sometimes, but one day, out of the blue, so to speak, we had a pastor. He is a Korean pastor from down in Cerritos. And he came knocking on our church door. And he just asked the question, do you have any property up for sale? And we said, bless the Lord, we sure do. And God, we told him about this 2 acre strip that we had and everything, started working with their people and everything, and got our district officials involved in regards to this. And friends, I told you, we were at a place where we would have had to just stop and couldn't do anything more. And God set it up where we were able to sell those 2 acres of property for $125,000. And God brought that in so that we could continue to do what we needed. Woo! He's a great and mighty God. He does these things in answer to prayer when we call out to Him. We have to just believe. We have to turn to God. We can't give up, friends. Friends, we need to pray. Why should we pray? Jesus prayed. God commands us to pray. And friends, I just want to say this as I get to this place of wrapping up with this message. Like I say, there's so many places I could go and share with you, but time for tonight is just running down. But why should we pray? We need to pray because of the fact prayer changes things and it changes people. There's an old German proverb that says, when in prayer we clasp our hands, God opens His. When we put our hands together, heaven is opening its hands to bring forth that blessing in the earth for us. And friends, in the Bible, we see that time and time again. The Bible in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You guys know that scripture where it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Prayer changes things and prayer changes people. Many of you that are here tonight, you are a testimony to what prayer can do, because you're not here today by chance, but there was someone, maybe it was a grandmother, maybe it was a mother, a dad, maybe it was a friend, but they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and once they connected, they begin to pray for you. They began to cry out to God, get a hold of, oh wicked, such and such is running wild out there, Lord. You know they're the party hardiest person out there. And they begin to pray for you. They begin to pray for me. And heaven heard those prayers. And heaven brought an answer. Because we got to that place where we kept, we quit running from God and we ran to God. We got to that place where we bowed our knee and raised our hands in surrender to God. And God brought to us what we had need of. I like what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, be anxious for nothing. It says, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it says, as we do that, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. I want peace. I believe you want peace. Many of you might need strength. Many of you might need a change in your life. Some of you may need healing. God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He still heals, friends. I want to ask if we could have the worship team come up. Friends, I want you to know that this God we're talking about that hears and answers prayer wants to answer your prayer tonight, and He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you, and He wants to lift you up. Hallelujah. He's here for you. Will you turn to Him? Will you surrender Him? There's a song I've asked the team to play, and they're going to just play it. But it's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And maybe you know that song. It's an older hymn. It talks about what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to help us. He wants to hear our prayer. Why should we pray? Lord Jesus Christ prays. And He is setting that example for us. God listens. Things going on that just aren't right. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer tonight. I want to ask, as we're coming to this point of closing, will you bow your heads with me this morning, this evening? And we want to pray. I want to give you an invitation to accept this God that hears and answers prayer, who loves you, who wants to do some amazing things in your life, who wants you to understand He has a purpose and a plan for you, that you're not an accident, but you're His great design. You're His great masterpiece. This evening, as our heads are bowed, maybe you haven't said yes to Jesus and asked Him to rescue, to save you from your sins and give you a new start in life. Right now, He's knocking at your heart's door. And if you want to receive Him, He says, I'm here. My arms are stretched out wide unto you. Is there anyone this night that would raise their hand to indicate to the Lord that I'm asking you to come into my life, to take control, to sit upon the throne of my heart? Is there anyone this night that wants to say yes to Jesus and believe by putting trust in Him, your faith in Him, that God will do something amazing for your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Secondly, if you have a need, I want to invite Pastor Mike and Pastor Dowda, if you could come up, and some of the prayer team members up here, if you'll come up front. If you have a need of any kind, the Lord says in Hebrews 4:16 to come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need, that we might find His grace and find His mercy in our time of need. If you need someone to pray with you and would desire that they would believe that God's going to bring an answer for you, will you just come up this evening and give that opportunity? Friends, God wants to encourage us. He's brought us here tonight so that we can be strengthened together as His body. Many of you here tonight are already believers and you know the Lord. Maybe your prayer life's not what it should be. Maybe you said, you know, I've just been trying to make it on my own strength. Don't try to make it on your own strength. Reach out to God and grab the strength that He has for you. Let God stir you and fill you on the inside. Maybe you need a fresh infilling and let His Spirit move in your life. You need that power to come forth. Maybe you have a child, a son or a daughter that is out there that is not connected to the Lord yet. And you know they're out there doing things that they shouldn't. You can talk about what they're doing all day long, but why not talk to the Lord and ask God to bless them? Prayer. I like what a minister by the name of Ian Bound said. Prayer is based upon the purpose and the promise of God. The purpose and the promise of God. And in Acts 16, verse 30, 31, we read in the Bible where the Apostle Paul is speaking, and we find out that he says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Your house, our children, can be saved. He wants to save them. He wants them to know Him. He wants us to cry out to Him. He's going to hear that cry. He's going to answer that prayer. He did it for you. He did it for me. God is no respecter of persons. But if you'll believe, God will do it. If you need anything from the Lord, you need to come to Him in prayer and let Him do it. He's ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Tonight, Lord. Tonight, Lord, we choose to believe You, Lord God. We choose, Lord God, to open our hearts, Lord God, and come boldly to You, Lord God, and ask that You would meet the need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Don't fear. Don't fear. only believe. God will make a way. He'll help you in the big things. He'll help you in the small things. But you'll never know His help if you don't ask for it, if you don't look to Him. And we need to do that today. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord. Keep on believing. Keep on praying, friends. Never give up. Remember what this word teaches. and say, Lord, this is what you said. Sometimes we wonder, what should I pray about? How should I pray? And I just typed up a few things, and maybe you have those papers that were out there. That's just something that I made available. So as you're seeking the Lord in prayer, you can have some direction. You can ask God to do these things. And God, there's scriptures behind all of it. It's what God's word says, and He's ever mindful of His covenant. He's ever mindful of the things that He said. He will do it. Believe Him for it. Praise the Lord. Pastor Mike, I'm turning it back over to you, brother. Thank you, worship team.
Come again tomorrow night. Bring somebody. Call some people. We'll pack this place out, giving glory to God. Is He working in your heart? Allow Him to work in your heart even more. God bless you. We're going to sing the first song, but you know, you're free. We'll just sing our way out of here, I guess.
It all for you.